Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. I went out to help somebody get through the buildings earlier and answer some questions, and I left my Bible on my desk. I was studying over my notes and had them scattered a little bit, so Trey went and got my Bible for me, and he just brought page 1 and 2 of my notes. So he went back to get the rest of them. He went back to get the rest of them for me. He said, I thought if I left these out, we might get out on time, you know. So, again, I want to appreciate all of our visitors. Thank you for being here today. And the Holloways are back. So good to have them. And it's good to see each of you today. Thank you for being here. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Sirach. It's a land, the language of the Syrians. It is the same as Aramaic. And that is why the book of Daniel from chapter 2 through chapter 7 is written in Aramaic, the introduction in Hebrew, and the last chapters that deal specifically with God's people in Hebrew. It said, he spake to him in Sirach, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. King answered and said to Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream, the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again, said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we'll show the interpretation. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask that you'll guide what I say. Help me to be a blessing and a help to your people. Help us to learn from your word and understand our part in history. And Lord, that where we are today, we see the history of where we come from this morning and where we have a chance to go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Daniel, along with three other Hebrew fellows who were all from the tribe of Judah, were taken into captivity in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar's armies. They came against Jerusalem. There were about three separate times they came there and took captives and took over. And over a period of time, beginning around 600 B.C., they took these three young men captives, and the Chaldeans brought these young men who looked favorable in to be trained as part of their wise men. They had the Hebrew language, and they were going to teach them the Aramaic and any other languages that they needed them to know, and teach them of their manners and their customs and all that sort of thing. And they would become a part of the body of advisors to the king. Now the king had magicians, the scripture says in verse 2 of chapter 2, and astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans. And these Hebrew young men were being trained by the leader of these men. And quite often these men would be made eunuchs as they lived in the king's realm. And they would be taught to be advisors unto him. Now the other three men, if you look back at chapter 1, verse 6, you see that here they're called by their Hebrew names, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they later are given names of the Babylonians and probably some semblance of the gods that the Babylonians worshipped. But on several occasions here, they are called as a body of men, the wise men. You'll remember there's another passage that talks about the wise men that came, the magi that came in the New Testament to the birth of Christ to honor the king. Now, we learn that Daniel took a stand in chapter 1 in verse number 8 and encouraged his three Hebrew brethren to do likewise. that they would not defile themselves with the unclean animal meat that the king offered them to eat, and with the type wine that the king offered them to drink that had been dedicated unto idols. And Daniel's teaching from a young boy, he would not defile himself in this. And so this could have meant his life. This could have meant that the three friends with him, that they all would have been killed for not cooperating. But the head of this group liked him, and so he gave him a test. He said, for 10 days we'll give you to eat what you want, and after 10 days we'll see how you look compared to the others. And they looked more pure, they looked fatter of flesh, they looked strong, and God gave them wisdom and knowledge that was beyond their own capabilities. And so they allowed them to continue to eat the type diet that they felt would be honorable unto their God. Now these young men, chapter 1, verse 15 through 21, deals with this test. Now the king dreams a dream in chapter 2, and he can't remember the details of the dream. It's troubled him immensely, and he's trying to recall what he saw, and he can't remember, so he calls for all these wise men. He immediately knows that if they can't tell him what he dreamed, and he'll be assured, oh yeah, that's what it was. If they can't do that, they really don't have any power. They really don't have any great ability. They're just lying to him when he asks for their advice. They just make up something that'll make him feel appreciative and make him feel that it's something in his favor. And that's not what he wants. He wants the truth. He wants to know what's happened. And so Daniel hears that they're going to kill all the wise men because of this. And so he asks for time to pray and to seek his fellow Hebrew brethren to pray and see if God will give them the interpretation of the dream for the king. So the dream is revealed in chapter 2 in verse 17. Bible says, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven and answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knoweth to them that know understanding. You see, it's God that has the power to set up kings and take down kings. America has forgotten that today. Those who are supposed to be our leaders put their hand on the Bible and pledge to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And then many of them begin to seek to change the Constitution as soon as they get into their office. They stop representing the people that elected them to represent them and start representing themselves so they can get re-election and so they can pad their pockets. And there are dozens of these senators and congressmen who become multimillionaires by having a salary that could never possibly make them millionaires in the time period that they have earned. The Bible says, verse 21, that in verse 22, he revealeth the deep secret things. He knoweth what is darkness. The light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what the desired of thee. For thou hast known, made known unto the king this matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And so he brings Daniel in before the king. In verse 24 through 28, the king invites the name that he has given to Daniel, Belteshazzar. He invites him in to give the interpretation. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath dreamed, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now, Daniel said, these men have no power, no ability to reveal something unto you that God has given you in this dream. But God in heaven can reveal what you've dreamed. And this is the dream that you have dreamed. And he reveals it unto him in verse number 31 through 36. Thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image. A great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his part iron of clay, and part of iron and part of clay on his feet. Thou sawest till that stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we tell the interpretation thereof before the king. So the dream is revealed, and now the dream is recovered, and now the dream is interpreted in verse 36 through 39. It's God who's given this kingdom and power to men. It's God who set up Nebuchadnezzar as king and given him all of the realm, that at that time he is the world ruler as a king over a great and powerful nation. If you put your bookmark here and turn over to chapter 7, you'll find as Daniel continues to pray and to study about things, that God reveals more of this dream to him at a latter time. In chapter 7 it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the visions of his head upon his bed. He wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, if you have a study Bible, it very probably breaks this thing down into the paragraphs and shows you which each one of these nations are that are going to come into rule and power from Nebuchadnezzar down to the Roman Empire. And then the feet of iron and clay that are mixed together is where we live today. There are many world powers, but no one world ruler. And the image will destroy the power of the Gentile world as Christ, who will then set up his kingdom. And all this was revealed to Daniel hundreds of years before it began to take place. The first king was Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. The second was the Medes and the Persians, represented in the chest and the arms of silver. In Daniel's lifetime, the king's grandson, very probably, came to the throne, and he was an idolater, and he made a great feast in chapter 5 and toasted with the vessels from the temple of God all of the idols that they worshipped, and a hand wrote on the wall. And it wrote in an understanding that they didn't have, and they found out there was a man in their realm by the name of Daniel who had the power of God to interpret dreams. They sent for him, and he interpreted the writing on the wall and said to the king, your kingdom is weighed in the balance and found wanting or lacking, and your kingdom is going to be taken away from you this night, and another kingdom will be set up. And that's when the Medes and the Persians dried up the riverbed under the wall of Babylon and came through at night on the riverbed and conquered the Babylonians and set up the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. These things are documented, well known today, and they are so accurate from Bible prophecy in the book of Daniel that many try to find fault with the scripture and try to say this was not written when it was, but it had to be written much later for him to have this understanding. But the time period they give the understanding of it, he still would not have known about the latter kingdoms and the future kingdom of the Lord if it had not been God revealing it unto him. Chapter 7, look there with me if you would. Chapter 7, verse 13. here at the end of this vision, he said, I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The kingdom of the Son of Man is revealed, the future of the kingdom of Christ set up upon the earth. Men seek power and wealth to rule over men. They amass great armies so they can conquer men and spread themselves out, as the Bible says, like a Green Bay tree taking over other nations, like Russia just recently overtook the Ukraine and just took part of it for their own. And been no war except a few of the Ukrainian soldiers tried to hold out a little while, but they were nothing compared to the vast armies of Russia. And now they've just taken a part of the Ukraine for themselves because it has ports that they wanted and access that they wanted and government farms that they wanted. And they just took them. And worlds and nations continue to do that. That's what's got us in a number of the wars we're in. Hitler was spreading out to conquer the world until a nation called America stepped in to support Great Britain. And we got some allies together and we fought World War II. These men seek to rule the world, but they forget about God. They forget there's a God in heaven that's in charge. They forget that without God, they can do nothing. But with God, they can be defended and protected even from a vast nation that might come against them. Daniel sees the vision of these four great beasts. And it's the same beginning that Nebuchadnezzar had seen, that he would see the Medes and the Persians conquer, and then the brass section, Greece, would conquer. And this was outside Daniel's lifetime. And Greece conquered. And Greece, Alexander the Great, died at about 33 years of age. All kind of stories about that and poems written and all that sort of thing. But the bottom line is, at about 33, he's dead. And so his kingdom of Greece was divided unto his four generals. And that is seen in the beast with four wings that Daniel saw, and how this nation would be divided into four other nations. He sees on through the Roman Empire, and there arises 10 kings, like the 10 toes on the original vision that the king saw. I won't turn there for the time, but write down Revelation 17:12. And you'll find that there are in 17:12 and chapter 13 and verse number 1, there's coming a day in the last days where 10 kings will rise to power, and the Antichrist shall rise to power with them. Daniel sees him as the little horn that uproots 3 other kings of the 10 and comes to power. Now look with me, if you would, at chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, verse 24 through 27. Hang on with me. Chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war, and desolations determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, many of you are Bible scholars and you know all about this, but there's some people sitting here today that probably never heard this before. And that is the 70 weeks of Daniel's vision, that God's given him the interpretation thereof. that from the time when they would issue a decree under Cyrus to go back and rebuild the city of Jerusalem with the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, Nehemiah led the group to rebuild the city, that there would be 69 weeks of years that would transpire until the Messiah would be cut off. Christ would be crucified for his people. And after that, there's 1 week left, 1 week of years, or 7 year period of time that is left. And we live in that period waiting for that last week to take place. We've been waiting all these years since Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead to provide salvation and righteousness and eternal home and life for all of us. And now we're waiting for that last week. The Bible says that the Antichrist will sign a covenant with Israel for 1 week of years. And then will take place what is called the tribulation. Look in chapter 12 of the book of Daniel and verse 1. I'm almost there. Come on now. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Look down at verse number 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. That's that abomination of desolation that Daniel saw. That's the abomination of desolation that Jesus spoke about was still a future event to transpire in Matthew chapter 24. From the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now here's a second 3.5 year period. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now we're in that vision today of the first vision, the giant who had a head of gold and chest of silver and midsection of brass and then legs of iron. And the legs of iron was the Roman Empire that came along. And then the feet are of iron and clay mixed together. There's no one world ruler, but there's a lot of world powers. And then there's coming the 10 toes, the 10 kings of the last days. They may be alive right now. That could be a part of this European common market over there. And some of those nations are the nations that would be in Daniel's prophecy of the old revived Roman Empire and the Grecian Empire as well. You can't get that specific on these things. And as times change, people think, oh, we got the answer right now. It's what's happening currently. This is what's going to take place in the latter day. Maybe it may not be. I don't know. There are many kings, but no one royal ruler in our day and time. America is a world power. Russia is a world power. China is a world power. And there are numbers of small nations with dictators that want to be world powers, and some of them have nuclear weapon capability, like North Korea. But they got a dictator who is such an imbecile, he can't even fire the rocket in the right direction to get it to go more than a few hundred feet. Thank God somebody's messing him up on the computers or something, you know. Iran is going to have nuclear capability. North Korea has nuclear capability. Pakistan has nuclear capability. We've got some nations that, just like when Russia started coming apart after the wall came down, our military was concerned there was going to rise up militias and groups within Russia that would have nuclear capability that might force a war without even Russia desiring it to take place. I said all that to say this. America was founded on July the 4th, 1776, 241 years ago today, or Tuesday, isn't it? Though America is not revealed in the Bible, it was founded to be a constitutional republic that has obviously had the hand of God guiding in the events that have taken place. The constitutional republic means we preserve what has been handed down. That's why they vow to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We have a democratic vote. Everybody who is a citizen has the right to vote. 18 years and up. When I joined the Marine Corps at 17 and went to Vietnam, I couldn't vote. It was 21 back then. Also couldn't buy hard liquor. That was a good thing. My dad just made his own, you know, so it didn't help a whole lot. But they changed it to 18. A government that is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not controlled by judges who are activists that want to control the country. Not by even the Supreme Court, but by the Constitution of the United States, we humble ourselves to be governed by it with freedom and liberty and justice for all, not just a select group. It includes a Bill of Rights. Congress and Senate are elected to do the will of the people under the boundaries of the Constitution. Just like as a church, we organized ourselves into a church and we have a charter with the state of South Carolina, but it is the Bible that is our rule and practice that we follow. America began to grow. Churches began to spring up in every community. The church became the schoolhouse. So everywhere the communities built homes and they built a church, and the church house became the schoolhouse and they taught their kids during the week. Settlements flourished across America with people coming from all over the world for the freedoms and the liberties and the enjoyment that was here that was not in other places. The freedom of religion. The state of Pennsylvania was given a massive, William Penn was given a massive amount of land in Pennsylvania and Delaware. And he set it up, and the state of Pennsylvania received a charter that was open because of religious persecution for people from anywhere in the world to come to Pennsylvania and live without religious persecution. That's why you got the Dutch and the people up there from all these different nations. That's how Amish and all those things. If you go to Pennsylvania, you go to look at all that stuff, you know, and buy their wares and see those people driving a horse and buggy still today, you know, and living in old times and all that. Well, see, they were persecuted for that in their nations, and they came here to America. And many of them, they had to learn English. There was no welfare. There was not even Social Security when they came. And they worked, and they earned a living, and they learned a language. And they contributed to the growth and the building of America. And they joined the military to fight Germany on two occasions in World War I and World War II. And helped defend our nation. Our nation established a militia or army. And in it, they ordained there would be chaplains who would minister to the troops. And Congress and Senate would have a chaplain to read the Bible and to pray before they opened their business every day. Our money is stamped in God we trust. Our monuments pay tribute to our God with scripture. All over Washington, where you can't take a Bible and read out loud in most public schools in Washington, D.C., but scriptures are plastered all over the monuments from the past that we had where people walked with God and wanted a nation that walked with God. Our pledge includes, under God, we are indivisible. And I want to say to you, without God, we will be divisible. With liberty and justice for all. Justice is based upon God's law, upon righteousness, upon keeping right with God. Proverbs 14:34, our nation has forgotten. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sam read from Psalm 33 and verse number 12 a few moments ago. In Psalm 50, verse 14 through 23, all of these passages of Scripture deal with a nation whose God is the Lord. A nation that seeks righteousness. A nation that will exalt God, God will exalt. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 118, and I'm coming to a close. You folks with the video, get ready back there. Y'all are going to attend the meeting. Take hope, we're almost through. Psalm 118. Verse 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Verse 4, let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or congressmen or senators or governors. And Psalm 90 was written by Moses. And there he proclaimed that for 40 years they marked time in the wilderness waiting for that whole generation to die off, including Moses, before they could go into the promised land. And my friend, we are marking time right now, somewhat in the wilderness. Though we have the Word of God and we have the church and we have Christian people, we don't have a visual relationship with God like we're going to have one day for all eternity. And we're marking time until that day comes. America has forgotten what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 100 and verse number 3. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. May we truly recognize the Lord our God is the ruler over kings. He sets up nations and takes them down. God knows all along what nation's going to be in power. And those that honor Him and serve Him, He will bless and He will protect and He will provide. But when men turn away from God, He'll turn away His protection. When men continue to turn away from God, He'll withhold His provision. And nations will fall as they have in history from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until today. But there's still coming a future. Thanks be unto God, we have the promise that before the judgments of God and the tribulation come upon this earth, we're going to be delivered to go to be with the Lord in the clouds in heaven and be with Him forevermore. That's a promise, and I claim that promise today. Father, thank You for this assembly of people today and for the message from God's Word. Bless now this video, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.